You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
So this morning, before we welcome our guest speaker, said encouragement from Dave Broadbent, and really, this is really great. Let's take a moment because, you know, every week that someone speaks or really that anybody even speaks from the microphone or someone speaks from up here from the stage kind of with something God's put on their heart, that is a seed that God wants to plant in us. And, you know, in Mark 4, it talks about kind of the soils of people's lives happen, right? The thorny soil and the rocky soil and the hard-packed soil. And then there's that fertile soil. And the fertile soil where the seed goes in, it produces that hundredfold situation. It says that it clung to the word. That's what happens. It says the only difference with the other soils, because the seed goes in every soil, but something doesn't go right after that. But the fertile soil, it says it clung, and Jesus is explaining Mark 4, right? And he says it clung to the word. It held on to it. And so I just want to take a minute. Let's pray, every one of us, where we're at, where we're watching from, let's ask God to make fertile soil in our hearts this morning. Let's believe that just through prayer and us being open, that God wants to plant something deep within us today. Can we believe for that? So let's just kind of open our hearts and let's just pray together. You can pray in your own way. I'm going to pray out loud right here. God, we just invite you in this morning. God, we invite your word to come inside us, to go down deep. God, we invite that seed into the soil of our lives. And God, we ask that distractions would go, that hardness would go, that stones would go, God, all the things that those other soils had representations of, God, that those things would just kind of be pushed aside and our soil would become fertile, that we would hold on to the word you want to speak into our lives, God, so that you can, that peace of your life can come in, Father, so that the peace of God can come and rest in us, Father. And so we want to invite you, Jesus, we want to invite your word this morning. So God, speak to us, and we're open, and we want to hear your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you weren't here Friday, I introduced my friend Nate, but we met just a little over a year ago, really, at MFI, and then later a Manna House gathering, which is City Bible's new name. If you don't know that, City Bible Church in Portland's name is now Manna House. And we just kind of hit it off with Nate and Rachel, and then we got to connect with them again this year at the conference. And I just invited them. I said, Nate, I would love for you to come and just impart into us, speak life into our church. And really on Friday night, wow, did he not speak life into us? Did he not impart something? And so really believing for God to speak through him again. Nate, why don't you come on up? Thank you so much for being here, Nate and Rachel.
Thanks, Greg. I'm going to let my wife start.
Hey, I am Rachel, and I'm just so thankful to be here. What a gift that we've been able to travel all this way and to be with you guys. You guys have such an incredible church, and we just feel so, so blessed. Our entire family, we were able to bring our children. Do you guys want to say hey? Just give a little. You could stand up and say hey. So we have Isaac, Isabel, Israel, and Elias, and then Lolo is back with the little guys. But we have been overwhelmingly blessed while we've been here. Thank you for your generosity and your kindness. And even more than that, thank you for what you're doing in the church worldwide, in the church here. There's like this burden that pastors carry, like, oh my gosh, there's so many people to reach. There's so many people to go after. And to know that there's a church here. I mean, you guys are so similar to our church, so similar. There's just a similar heart, a similar love in this area. And that's such a gift to know that there are people being reached in your region. And I don't have to reach them from Montana because I'm a little overwhelmed with that thought. That's a long ways away. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for advancing the kingdom of God here in New York and beyond and all that you guys do. What a gift to partner with you, even though we don't know each other well. But, I mean, we know your leaders well, but I'd love to know all of you. But thank you so much for all that you're doing and let's reach this world for Jesus, right? Yeah.
Isn't she cute? She turned 40 on Thursday as we were traveling 16 hours from Montana, three connections and a few hours in the car, and she kept a smile on her face the entire time. It was really, really good. Hey, so we are really grateful to be here. I got to echo everything that Rachel said and just say we really love your pastors. We're getting to know them better and your entire team. What I love about Greg and Jess is there's just a love for your church that just comes out in every conversation. There's a love for the community. I love their passion for kids that need homes and need others to rally around them and champion their lives. I think that is so infectious and so powerful and so near the heart of God. And I also love just their desire to just simply do what Jesus wants. That's what I've heard over and over and over. There's so many different stories of a crazy mission in Africa and connections here in this region and a 70-mile run in the middle of a storm. There's just a desire in both of them to just do what Jesus wants. And I think that is something that can be trusted. Can you take a moment with me and just honor your pastor? I'm really grateful for a man like that. Okay, I got to get cracking. I don't know what time I'm supposed to be done, but I'm sure I don't have as long as I wish I had. So did you know that this is a great church? Did you know that? It really, really is. And you look good this morning. And yet, did you know this, that it is actually your job to make God look better? Did you know that? Some of you are thinking that's blasphemous. No, it's biblicus. That's what it is. It's Bible. It is your job to make God look better. Now, here's the truth. God's perfect, right? He can't get any better. He can't get any bigger. He can't get any nearer. But it's actually the job of the church to make God seem better, seem bigger, seem nearer, more loving, more compassionate, more gracious. It's actually our job. It's over and over and over through the scriptures. It's actually in so many ways we see that it is actually our job to. Do you remember the good churchy word magnify? Magnify the Lord. I mean, think about magnify. It's as though God, it wants to use your life as a magnifying glass. So as you walk around here on planet Earth, those beyond His family, beyond His life, those outside the walls of the church, would see your life, and through looking through the lens of your life, your behavior and the way that you function in relationship, in your faith and your joy, it's as though God wants them to look through the lens of your life and see Him more clearly and see Him for better than what they thought He was. Closer than what they thought He was, more powerful than what they thought He was. You see, we can't make Him any bigger, but it's actually our job to bring Him nearer to the world that does not know Him. You see, because it has always been God's desire to have a physical and a spiritual representation of Him here on planet Earth. Do you remember that? It's right from the beginning. God has always wanted. It's always been His plan. It's always been His desire. It's always been His pattern to have a physical and a spiritual representation of Himself here on planet Earth. Right at the very beginning, it says, remember, it says God created mankind in His own image. It's always been God's pattern. And then you see it through the nation of Israel. You see it through the life of Christ Himself. Remember, it says in Colossians 1, He is the visible version of the invisible God. And in that same passage in Colossians 1, it says, and He is the head and we are the body. You see, the church is the fulfillment of this idea. You see, God has always wanted to have a physical and a spiritual representation of Himself here on planet Earth. And the church is not just the current version of this, but the final version of this. Now, the ultimate fulfillment, and a lot of you, you know, who've been in church for a while, anybody been in church for a while? It's like, yeah, today I feel like I've been in church for a while. Yeah, no. Well, you better buckle up. It's going to be a lot longer. I'll tell you that. You know, they give guest speakers recommended time frames, and we're like, thanks for the recommendation. I know I could preach longer in this church and get away with it. My church, they'll just get more upset. By the way, we bring greetings from the great state of Montana. My goodness. We had to escape to the balmy north of New York. It is beautiful here. Your weather is fantastic. I hope you're grateful for it. Montana. We come from Montana where the men are men and so are some of the women. And that statement actually used to bring less confusion. But anyway, we're part of a great church there. I pastor New City Church. I've been the lead pastor there for just over a year now. I've been in the church for 21 years. And Rachel's father founded the church, married the pastor's daughter. It's the only way I got the job. And I'm really glad they've put up with me this long. But it's a good church. It's a fun church. It's a thriving church. It's a relational church. Feels like this church, honestly. This feels like home. So greetings from New City Church and from our leadership team there. They were thrilled that we got invited so they could get rid of us for a bit. And they're really glad that we're enjoying the tropics of upstate New York. But it is, you see, it's always been God's pattern to have a physical and a spiritual representation of himself here on planet Earth. And in Revelation chapter 21, for those who have been in church for a while, you'd remember that the ultimate fulfillment is when heaven and earth will combine and God will walk among his people, because it has always been. It's always been God's plan and desire to have a physical and spiritual representation of himself on planet Earth. And so the church is not just the current version, but until this day, until that day, we're the final version of this plan. And there's just so many ways that this is said in the scriptures. There's a couple of fun ones. My two that I'll mention that are fun, because I think one kind of reaches out to the guys in the room and the one kind of reaches out to the girls. But I know you've been doing a series on the words of Jesus, right? So in Matthew 16, you know what it says about the church. It basically says this, that God's going to put an army on the battlefield that no one will ever be able to defeat. And all the guys are like, yeah. Right? That's the church. Yeah. I won't do that again. I'm sorry. In Ephesians chapter 5, there's one that reaches out more so to the ladies. It says this, that God is preparing his church like a bride, like a glorious, glorious bride. By the way, the title of this message is Glorious. He's preparing his bride. He says she's going to be radiant and beautiful without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. And that is the bride he's going to return for. And all the women said, or whatever you say. And the church is right now. We are the physical and the spiritual representation of God here on planet Earth. We're here to help God seem nearer, seem bigger, seem more loving, seem more present, seem more available than what he already is. But it's our job to make him look better. And we can't do this, any one of us, on our own, because church is never meant to be a me, right? If you're here Friday night, remember, we said this so many times. It's never meant to be a me. It's meant to be an us. You see, God wants us, our lives connected. Our lives connected. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, all glory to God, all glory, all fame, all applause, all praise, all worship, all attention, all adoration to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us. Not just me. Not you over there and you over there and me up here randomly loving Jesus, individually connected with God, but our lives intentionally connected. I believe there's something powerful about what I like to call an us church. We're in this together. We're united in this. His power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, even this one, even this messed up one, even this weird one, even this like quarantined one, even this masked and social distanced one. You see, glory to Him in this generation. Glory is going to come through the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever and ever. You see, God, He wants to use this church. And by the way, what I love about it, I love preaching a message like this to a church like this, because I don't feel like I'm like causing a big course correction here. What I love is that what God wants to do is what He's already doing. He's helping Messina see Him more clearly through you. He's helping them know Him and see Him and wonder about Him and get confronted with this beautiful, glorious disruption called God in this life they're trying to live without Him, and He's using you. Glory to God in the church. See, this is important. On Friday night, I shared a story about this really dorky car that I drove in high school, and I gave this analogy about how like that worthless car would not be any cooler, but it would turn a lot more heads if you put a Ferrari engine into that car, and then it like peeled out for like a mile and a half, and everybody was like, "What is under the hood of that car?" Right? Like, God wants a place. In fact, He chooses to need a place where His glory can rest in otherwise missable, mistakable, pretty dorky, not yours but mine lives, right? Now that illustration it's actually fitting for one part of this idea, but it's limited in another. It's limited because, you see, that illustration would only work if it was our ingrained understanding that as soon as you put a Ferrari engine into any vehicle, then eventually that vehicle would transform into a Ferrari. Because God actually wants more than just a representation of Himself here on planet Earth. He wants a matched representation. He actually wants a body that matches His head. He wants a body. He wants a church body that matches His head. And what He's doing by His grace, by His truth, by the work of His Holy Spirit, is He's maturing His church. He's growing His church. And He's transforming His church so that we are a body that matches His head. Let me show you, before I get too deep into this, let me just show you. And you guys in the back, you got to help me out on this, okay? Levi, I'm your friend, all right? So they're going to move through a few photos fairly quickly, because I don't want anybody to have time to snap photos of these and share these embarrassing photos on social media. But I want to give you a good idea of before we get to what God is doing, let's talk about what He's not doing. This is what He doesn't want. First photo. Here's what He doesn't want. He doesn't want just a big, glorious, amazing head in the middle and then dismembered body parts all around. Second picture. He doesn't want this amazing, handsome, glorious head and then a little tiny body somehow attached to it. Next photo. He doesn't want that. He really doesn't want a mature, robust, handsome head and then an infantile body connected to it. He also doesn't want this developed and intentional and intelligent head with some strange other species attached to it. And he really doesn't want this. He doesn't want a body that tells the head what it ought to look like. Get off that photo. That is not what God wants. You see, what God is doing in the church, what He's doing in the church, what He's doing in the us, is He is lovingly accepting us exactly as we are, and yet He is transforming us to be the matched expression. You see, God has always wanted a physical and a spiritual representation of Himself here on planet Earth, but He wants a body that matches the head. You see, this, even those pictures, some of them are ridiculous and humorous. They're not glorious. And that is what God is aiming for. He actually is developing, is maturing. He's returning for a church that is glorious. He's returning for a church that is glorious. And let me just throw out one quick statement. And this is, by the way, you got a lot of notes. Don't worry, we're not going to go through all those notes today, okay? In case you're looking at the notes and you're like looking at your clock and you're like, these two don't match. Don't worry, it's okay. I gave you a lot of extra scriptures, some one another scriptures in case you want some more practical ideas. If you're brand new to church, you're like, what's the one another scriptures? I put a bunch of them on the backside of your notes you can read up on. How do I actually do this life together? You can get some good ideas out of the Bible. That's a good idea, isn't it? Is it a good idea to get some good ideas out of the Bible? But in your notes, it's just a simple statement. He gets the glory when we continue his story. When we do this, when we live this life, this body life, the way that Jesus lived his life here on earth. And we see out of John chapter 1, he came, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. I love how the writer of the message paraphrases that. He says something along the lines of like, it's like God put on jeans and moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that cool? But it says this, that we saw Jesus came from the Father full of grace and full of truth. There's a lot of different ways that I believe that we as the church, we mature and we become the body that matches the head. But I just want to camp on those two quick ideas, because I believe if we really are a church of grace and we progress to become even more so a church of grace, and if we become a church of truth, then we will become the body that matches the head. All right, so let's look at some scripture for this, all right? And by the way, if you didn't read your Bible yet this week, this might qualify today. We're going through a lot of scripture. Are you guys okay with the Bible? 9 of you are okay with the Bible, okay? I'm going to take a drink and more of you are going to get on board, okay? All right, here we go. Let's read some Bible out of 1 Corinthians 12. And by the way, I eliminated some pieces of this scripture, the passage. Make sure you read it on your own. You want to get it in its entirety. I tried to make this as succinct as possible because I'm long-winded. Okay, check this out. 1 Corinthians 12. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, the church, you. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Let me hear an amen to that one. Wouldn't that be crazy? You just had a big old mushy eyeball rolling around up here. I think the Bible is just so cool, all right? That's like a horrible understatement, but it is, right? If you don't think the Bible is cool, you just got to read it more. You know, it's got to get through to you. So how strange a body would be if it only had one part. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. The head, who is Christ, can't even say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So we carefully protect those parts. God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. Let's talk about what it means for the church to be a place of grace. I love to tell our church that we will always be a place of grace. This will always be a place where you are valued exactly as you are. Exactly as you are. That you don't have to learn a certain amount of scriptures. You don't have to like distance yourself from a certain kind of habit. You don't have to dress a certain way or look a certain way or smell a certain way. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. When you come into a church that has the name Jesus Christ associated with it, this should always be a place of grace. It should be a place where you are valued as you are, made in the image of God, dear to his heart, pursued by him, and pursued and welcomed by his family. Now, there's all kinds of natural obstacles to this, right? There's so many natural obstacles to this, but I believe that if we really want to be the body that matches the head, we've got to figure out how to get past those obstacles. And you know how we get past those obstacles? By grace. Grace with one another. We have to learn to truly love, to be patient with, to bear with one another. And I love how over and over in this passage you see this idea that compared to the church family, the body is a great image of this idea. That even though that we have many members that look different from one another, they function different from one another, they attach different than one another, they still all belong. Now, there's part of this where we got to understand, like, no matter what your shape, no matter what your function, no matter how you attach, you are a part of the body. You are valuable and you are necessary. But so is that person who looks so different from you that is sitting right next to you. Right? I mean, think about it just in the illustration's fantastic. Did I mention the Bible's really good? Okay, so think about the fingers. If you instead of fingers had all your toes on your hand, that'd be kind of odd. Am I right? I really hope there's nobody here that has all of their toes on their hands. But and the toes are the nearest match for the finger in terms of like a body part that you could swap out, right? I mean, how crazy would it be if you had, like, just fingers sticking out the side of your head where your ear typically is, right? Would that be strange? I mean, it might be helpful when you're on the phone, right? But you're going to stand out in a crowd. Am I wrong? I mean, you're going to be the person at a party where everybody's like, yeah, we're good. You know, we'll just watch you from a distance and snicker. So our body parts, even though they are so different, they are so necessary. They have a different function. They have a different form. In the church, we see this and we feel this, right? It's like, I mean, just take a moment. And it's going to feel weird, but the guest speaker asked you to, and so everybody has to do it. Go ahead. Just look around. Just look around and find somebody who looks very different from you. If she's cute, you could wink at her, guys. I mean, where else on earth would this collection of people all be together in one place? We're so different, right? We're so different, and what actually combines us is grace. It's the grace of God in every single one of our lives. It's the love of Jesus reaching out individually for every single one of us that drew us in, that kept us here, and it's our grace for one another that allows us to stay connected. You see, it's not a dismembered body that is gonna bring glory to God. It's a connected body. And yet far too often, have you seen this? The church is known for disconnection more so than unity. And where there's unity, God commands his blessing. So why is it so hard for us to stay unified? Well, because we're so different. We're so different, but if we learn anything from the body, we recognize that difference is a good thing. You don't want your knees to act like your ears, and you don't want your hair to look like your calves. You don't want your elbows to be like your shins, right? It's like, it's good that the different parts of the body are different. It's a good thing that your heart acts different than your lungs, and your lungs different from your pancreas, and your pancreas from your earlobe. It's a good thing. And it's a good thing that we attach differently. But we've got to learn to actually value that. I think of like the... I overheard Josh was telling a story the other day about how they had this crazy big youth party, right? And there were like Nerf darts all over the place, and they're like weeks later still finding Nerf darts. And it'd be really easy, wouldn't it, if the cleaning team just got sick of picking up these Nerf darts and be like, what's the problem? Like, we already cleaned up this mess. Why does this mess keep reemerging? It would be like the eyes looking at the hands and saying, I washed you yesterday. Why don't you stay clean? And yet forgetting that between washings, work was being done. Work that was necessary and work that was good and work that reminded, like, why would we ever want a church that's constantly clean if we didn't have a church that welcomed in young people and let them see we've got a vision for your life and we've got a care for your soul and this is a place where you'll be valued and accepted and cheered on and trained. You see, we are so different. It's the guy that takes your place in the parking lot, right? He's the one that needs grace. It's the guy who talks too much at small group and eats all the best food. I tell my church, in case you're ever wondering, what would it be like to go to a small group with Pastor Nate? You don't want to be in a small group with Pastor Nate because I talk too much and I eat all the best food, right? I do. Right? So that guy needs your grace. But why don't we drill down a little bit deeper than that? What about the people that think very differently than we do? Imagine who could walk in that door that would start to make you maybe feel uncomfortable or frustrated. Somebody that thinks very differently from you. Maybe it's somebody who on social media is just like spouting all these crazy ideas, and it's like they're a friend of a friend, and they keep dragging maybe family members into stuff, and that person walks in. Is this a church where he's going to be valued exactly as he is? What about this? What if somebody cheats you in a business deal and treats you wrongly? They advertise something as such, and you pay them for it, and you realize later it's not, and they knew about it. And that person walks in the door. Well, I'm glad we got a big room. I'll stay on the opposite side, right? Jesus came full of grace. Can you imagine what it was to be the Son of God, who left the applause and the perfection of heaven? And he chose this life to live with us. And they were still people right then. Right? It was a different culture. It was a different time. There was different distractions. But they were still people. And so he was surrounded with weird ideas and gossip and anger and name-calling and pettiness and people who were really sure of their opinions when they shouldn't have been. If you ever met that person? Ever been that person? He was surrounded by us. But Jesus came near because he knew that was the solution, to draw near, to not keep his distance. You know that God's not really into social distancing? Now, don't take that as a political statement. Some of you are like, I want to. No. It's just take it as a theological one. God's really not into social distancing. Because here's the idea with social distancing, right? It's like we're not exactly sure what you got, and we're not exactly sure what I got, so let's just keep our distance so we don't infect one another. You see, God knows exactly what you've got. All your weird ideas, all your bad theology, all your personal insecurities, your hang-ups, all your issues. He knows what you've got. And God knows what he's got. Hope and life and peace and grace and truth that brings freedom. And he just wants to get close enough to you so that you get infected by him. And that's what he wants his church to be. He wants a body that matches the head. Not a church that keeps this distance from a difficult situation, a hard relationship, odd thinking and weird behavior. But one that, just like him, is willing to get close enough to the mess so that there could be an exchange. I love even the act of creation. Do you remember with the sun, the moon, the stars, the planetary systems, the tides, the seasons of the years? He spoke it into creation, and it existed. But not with you. He didn't do that with you. Do you remember what he did with you? He got his hands down in the dirt. He formed something with personal contact. And he breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. That's grace. Grace is messy. And grace is difficult. And grace is frustrating because people are stupid, right? People are weird and they got hang-ups. We have issues, but theirs are worse, right? But the church that will bring glory to God is a church of grace. A church that says, I want to love you. I want to love you like Jesus loves me. A church body connects by exercising grace. And I think here's a good question that all of us can ask ourselves is, will this be a place of grace with me or in spite of me? Let's talk about truth. Jesus came full of grace, but he came full of truth. I like to tell our church, I told you that I want this to always be a place where people are valued exactly as they are. It'll always be a place of grace. But I also tell them this, this will always be a place of truth. It'll always be a place where people are taught who they can become. You don't have to hold on to your addictions. You don't have to hold on to your wrong thinking. You don't have to repeat the same mistakes generation after generation that has marred and ruined your family. You don't have to wear the labels that have seemed to limit you. You can let go. Isn't that a gift? You can let go of that. You can repent. What a breath of fresh air. You can walk away from that. This is a place of truth that can celebrate, that you can be different. You can be set free. You can be transformed. Is anybody here today? You can meet the grace of Christ that actually begins to work in you something different from who you were. You can become new. Is that good news? I think that's worth shouting. You're just like my church. You're thinking, and you're saying nothing. Just try a crazy amen. That's good. It felt good, didn't it? Some of you are like, I'm going to the Methodist church next week. If there's any Methodists watching online today, we're thrilled you're in our community. We love you. By the way, those who are online, come on, why don't we thank those for viewing with us online? We're so glad. I don't know which one of you I should look at, but no matter when you're watching or where you're watching, we are really glad that we have this way to be the us. Even if we're not in the same room, we can still be the us. So we're thrilled you're here. Jesus was full of truth, and here's another really long passage of the Bible. Yeah, you thought we were done. No, we're still reading the Bible. In Ephesians 4, the same writer, this early church leader named Paul, is writing to another church, and he's talking about this idea of truth, and he's talking about this idea of a body that will mature. Even though it was adorable, right, to see Pastor Nate in a little infantile diapered body, but that is not what God wants. Look at this in Ephesians 4. It says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. Measuring up to the full, can you just listen to this? Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He wants a body that matches the head. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about. But look, there's some people, by the way, that read this scripture and they say, well, that sounds like heaven. We will be mature and complete, measuring up. Because it's like, we can't even get our brains around that this would be earth, right? But look at what it says. It says, then we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like, what version of heaven are they going to? That doesn't sound like the version of heaven I'm going to. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about earth. He's saying, I'm coming back for a glorious church. I'm coming back for a connected church. It's a connected church that walks in grace that's going to bring me glory. And it's a maturing church, a glorious church that I'm going to return for. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. What a blessing that you don't have to repeat the same stupidity that you've repeated for so long. You can actually walk away from that. And And it's the church that will help you to do that. It's absolutely God's grace working in you, right? It's God's power. It's that breath of the Spirit that God works in your life to transform you, to help you to walk away from that. But he does it over and over and over through this. Because church is never a me thing. It's always an us. It's a we. See, God wants our relationships in a place like this to be the thing that forms us, that shapes us, sands off the rough edges, the thing that comforts us and encourages us. And by the way, I want to reckon back. In the middle of worship, there was this encouraging word, right, about disappointment. I think a lot of times if we've been met with disappointment in the church, it's because somebody tried to help us, but maybe they didn't do it well. And it came across harsh, it came across judgmental, it came across abusive. But that does not change the fact that this is exactly God's design, that in a healthy way, there's a loving way, there's a good way, where he actually wants his church to help mature his church. He's not coming back for a bride in a diaper. He's coming back for a glorious, mature bride, a body that matches the head. And we together will welcome his return as we learn to walk in truth. Each part playing their part. Each part contributing to one another. There's a few questions I want to ask you to just ask yourself. If you think about this idea, like, will I exercise grace so that we can stay connected? Will I suffer with those who hurt? Will I celebrate with those that win? Will I value those shaped differently than me? Will I stay connected with those that are different from me? Will I care for the weak and the wounded as though we are one body? It is a connected church that's going to bring glory to God. And it's grace that allows a church body to connect. A church body connects by grace. And it is a growing, a mature church that brings glory to God. And a church body grows by embracing truth. And at times it's difficult to celebrate truth. At times it's difficult to receive it because it feels hard. It feels so foreign. But that is when you know it's so necessary. When it feels difficult, then we need grace to lead the way. I believe there's a reason that it says he came full of grace and truth and not the other way around. Because truth is received when it's spoken, as this passage said, in love. When I speak truth, it's not just, I can't wait for you to be different, so let me give you some truth so you can change right away. That's not the way truth is actually packaged. Here's how truth is intended to be packaged. I love you so much, and it grieves me that what you're doing right now, where you're living right now, how you're thinking right now is just going to keep leading to pain and decay and regret. So I'm going to invest in your life, and I'm going to slow down, and I'm going to listen. I'm going to care how you're doing more than what you're doing, and I'm going to slow down and engage in your life just like Jesus did in mine until I can start to earn the permission to ask certain questions. You see, you would never load up a semi with tons of cargo and just blaze across any bridge in your path without thinking about it. You would know the limit. You would know the weight limit for what that bridge could hold. But far too often, if we're not careful within the church, we just load up our truck with a whole load of truth and blaze across a bridge that has not yet been strengthened with love, with grace. See, a church body grows by embracing truth. It's a growing body that brings glory to God. But I think we've got to ask, will I embrace truth so we can keep growing? Here's a few questions along those lines. Will I remind myself that others are responsible to help me mature? I got to remind myself that others are responsible. It's not like they just wanted. God actually holds certain people in this room responsible to help me grow. And if they don't say at times difficult things, they're not doing their job. They're actually not being faithful to me in the role they've been given. Will I receive from those that are responsible to equip me, to train me? I've got to ask myself, will this be a place of truth with me or in spite of me? Will this be a place that embraces truth? I've got to ask myself, am I willing to work at helping others for their benefit? For their benefit, not just because they annoy me and their Facebook rants about politics are just, you know, so frustrating. No. Like, am I willing? Like, their kids are just, you know, they really need to learn how to discipline those little stinkers. Like, am I willing to step in and help them for their benefit, not just because they get on my nerves? Does anybody ever have, like, am I talking to the right crowd? Does anybody ever have anybody get on your nerves? Not in church, though, right? We're not talking about church people. Anybody have church people get on your nerves? Anybody? There you go. There's two of us. Thank you for that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Such honest men sit on the edges. Okay, thank you. The church body grows by embracing truth. A maturing body brings glory to God. I've got to ask myself, will I always use love as I speak the truth? They know my heart. Well, your face doesn't. That was a good one. That one just came out of me. Will I exchange my opinions for God's truth when I see it? Will I exchange my opinions for God's truth when I see it? I can't do anything until I see it, right? So there are times when people will, well-meaning people, if you're young in Christ, you're growing in Christ, you're hitting a brick wall over and over and over, you feel like, why can't I grow? And sometimes you got people trying to help you, right? And they're like, don't wear that Van Halen shirt in church, right? Or whatever, right? Don't use those swear words, you know, when you smack your thumb with a hammer, whatever it may be. Like learn to spend more time with your kids. You should repent to your wife. You should, like, not smoke dope or whatever it may be. You have sometimes people trying to help you by telling you how to live the Christian life that makes sense to them. But if you change just because they told you you should, and not because the Holy Spirit is speaking through them and you're like, yeah, I get it, you're right. If you're only changing for them, then you're not going to get God results. You're going to get resentful. Because at a certain point, your effort is going to wear out. And you're going to feel like, I wasted all that time trying to do what you wanted me to do. I'm just going to go do a bunch of sinning and enjoy it. That's what you're going to do. Or you're going to live the rest of your life in religion instead of relationship with the voice of God that said, you can walk away from that. You can be different from that. You don't have to be defined by that. But what will I do? Not just when I hear another. And by the way, sometimes you'll hear God's voice through another voice. You know, you'll hear amazing sermon like this one and you'll hear God's voice. Why are you laughing right now? But what are you going to do when you hear his voice? What are you going to do when you hear his voice say you can walk away from that? That habit is killing you. That relationship's not right for you. Or, I know this relationship hurts, but you're supposed to stay committed to that one. Will this be a place of truth with you or in spite of you? Because it is a maturing body. It's a glorious body. It's a maturing body that's going to bring glory to God. It's going to be a church that's not, it's not hung up in the mentality of the world. It's not hung up in the residue of this world. It's not hung up in the wrong thinking of this world. It's not hung up in the ideologies and the opinions and the priorities of this world. But we are instead following the voice of the God who is leading us. It'll be that body that brings glory to God. So will this be a place of truth with you or in spite of you? Here's one last question. When I think about a unified church, when I think about a place where God wants his blessing and God wants his presence, I gotta ask myself, would we be us if everyone loved like me? If everyone showed grace like I do, if everyone showed truth like I do, if everyone embraced grace and truth in the same way as me, would we be us if everyone loved like me? Pack your bags, we're going on a go trip. Right? No, I think there's two ways. I almost didn't include that because it was like, oh, that's too convicting. I can't even type that. Because in my church, no. If everyone lived out grace and truth exactly like I do, our church would be way worse than it is. So I can either hear that in one of two ways. I can hear that like a guilt trip, like not good enough, I'm not gracious enough, I'm not patient enough, I'm not loving enough, I'm not submitted enough, I'm not equipable enough, I'm not, right? Anybody feel that way? I can hear it that way, or I can hear it this way. What a blast that this place is so great and I'm still here. They didn't kick me out yet, right? It's like, how awesome that there's grace here and there's truth here and there's transformation here. There's life here. There's marriages being restored. There's addiction being broken. There's love for the unlovely. There's patience for the elderly. There's young people that are being launched into a future. And I'm a loser, but I'm still here. I'm not so bad that I messed it all up. Maybe God wants me here, and maybe God still has a plan for me here. Maybe he still has a future for me here. Maybe his grace is for me. Maybe his truth is for me. Maybe the we is bigger than the me. And maybe I should just be grateful that I'm included. Let's be a church of grace. Can I hear an amen? Let's be a place where everyone's valued, no matter who they are and where they're at in that journey. Let's be a place where they're celebrating. It could be the furthest person from who you are, and they could come in this door and you'd say, here's a seat right here. Come on in. Because all these wonderful people let me stay. I want you to be here too. Let's be a place of grace. People are valued exactly as they are. Let's always be a place of truth where they're told who they get to be, not who they have to be, right? Who they get to be. Man, there's so much more in your future. There's so much more for your family. There's so much more for your marriage. There's so much more for your mind. There's so much more. Come on, is that good? Let's be a place of grace and a place of truth. Let's be a glorious body that he returns for, a bride with a body that matches the head. Now you're thinking about a bride with a body. I'm so sorry about that left turn. But let's be a church that looks like him. Can I hear an amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. I want to pray for you. God, I'm so grateful. God, I'm so grateful. God, thank you that you've been so patient with me. God, you've led me through this process. God, you're still changing me. You've got so much more to do. Thank you for not giving up. And thank you for the people you've put around me. God, thank you for those back home. I know these names won't mean anything, God, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for those you've put around me, those transformations I've been able to see. I'm grateful for Nick and Molly Schwall and you've transformed them. Aaron and Cassie Roberts, God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for these lives that were once wasted. I'm grateful for a Kevin Bell. I'm grateful for a Chad Sherman. God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for these people who were once just given up. They're living wasted lives, and you've transformed them. God, I'm grateful for an Eric Crawford. I'm grateful for an Aaron Seibert. God, I'm grateful. God, I'm grateful for the lives in this place, the names I don't know, the people that you reached out to in your grace, and you said, I love you exactly as you are, and guess what? I've got so much for you. I'm grateful for those lives here at NTC. And will you just give hope? Give hope. God, we so want the world to see you for who you are. We want to see them as they get a revelation of your grace and your mercy and your power and your ability in their lives. So help us to be a church that magnifies you. Jesus, we just want to love people like you've loved us. And we want to be used in the process of leading them towards your transforming truth. God, we're grateful. I pray your blessing on this amazing church this morning. And I pray your blessing on those now who are returning to you, those who don't yet know you, those who are not yet your kids. They've never yet seen you as Father, as Lord, as Savior. They've never yet seen you're the only one that can forgive them of their sin. They've never yet seen you're the only one who deserves to lead their life. Pray your grace on those who are returning to you right now. And I pray they'd sense that. I believe there's people in this room right now. You're just sensing. It's like the Holy Spirit's working on your heart. It's almost like in a spiritual way. It's like there's just like a tapping on your shoulder. That's God saying, come home. I love you. I love you. I've got a future for you, and I've got a plan for you. You owe me your life. I bled and died so you don't have to. If you turn away from every other distraction and just choose me, I'll show you what the route forward looks like. But you need me. More than you need anyone, you need me. The Lord is telling you now. God is telling you now. You can be my child. Today, just turn and come home. You're not going to be met with judgment. You're going to be met with love. You're going to be met with grace. You're going to be met with a future and a destiny that you need. Come home. If you don't know right now that you absolutely belong to him, he's telling you, come home. Come home. And I would personally love to just privately celebrate with you right now. And right where you're at, right in your seat, you can raise your hand and just say, yeah, that's me. Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand and say, yeah. That's me. I'm that person coming home. Awesome. Awesome. Good. Anybody else? You know that's you. Good. Come on, that's three. Anybody else out there? I just can't wait to just rejoice with you and celebrate with you. Is there anybody else out there? You know, like, yeah, I need this. I'm coming home. Maybe you're coming back. Maybe you've had a connection with God in the past. Good, there's four. You know why I count? Because I want you to know you're not alone, and this is so valuable. And God knows every single one of you. God knows your name. I just know your number, but God knows your name. Anybody else? You know this is for you. I just want to linger here for a minute. It's the most important thing we can do today. Anybody else? Well, Jesus, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for your grace that transforms, God. I'm so grateful for your grace that saves. And I pray for these four people right now, and maybe others with us here online, maybe others here in the room that didn't raise their hand or didn't have a chance to. I pray that more than anything, their heart would yearn for you. And I pray that they would reach out and tell someone today. Lord, I pray this prayer over them. Lord, I pray that they would turn from every other distraction, that they would choose you, that they would clearly and without shame admit their sin to you, ask you for your forgiveness, God, and declare you as the authority of their life. I pray that they'd recognize that this is a gift that you've purchased for them. Cost them nothing, but it cost you everything. You endured willingly the wrath of God, the punishment of God as you hung on the cross. But you came out of the grave. You came back to life, and you opened up for them the doorway of life. And I pray life over them. And I pray as they turn from every other distraction and they turn to you, I pray they'd experience that life like never before. I pray your grace and your blessing over these four and over this church. God, I thank you for the privilege it is to be here with this wonderful church family, a glorious church, a church of grace, and a church of truth. Your grace over them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ephesians 3:10, it says this: God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety. God wants to use every one of us in our infinitely unique ways to reach the world, all for the same purpose. We all get the same job description. You know that? Every one of us. You're the church. We're to represent him. We have the same description of our accomplishment, but how God uses us is infinitely unique. And you know, this weekend we celebrated what it means to partner with his church. You know, specifically we talk about New Testament church, but guess what? Jesus doesn't care about our name. He doesn't care about our logo or our brand. He's coming back for his people. And every year that we kind of encourage people to be pulled into partnering with his work, with his mission, with his vision, we do this signing thing. You know, you've seen, you know, the things on the wall that we've signed, and this year we signed these rocks. I want to encourage you, if you weren't here on Friday, but in your heart you say, man, I am in. I want to buy in with my life and everything that I have, and I want to partner with what God's doing. I'd encourage you, take some time. We're going to end in just a moment. But at the end of the service, you can come up. There's a basket of blank rocks here. There's some markers. You can sign that. You can put it on. It's just a symbolic act that says, God, I want to partner with your body. I want to attach myself in the way I've been designed to be attached. Can we do that this morning? So let's just pray one last time, and I'll just bless you as you go. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, what you're doing in our lives. God, we thank you that you have unbelievable plans and purposes and destiny in every heart and soul that's watching and in this room, that you've planned since before the beginning of time to represent you, to magnify you, to reflect who you are in our lives. So God, we want to do it better. Simply, God, we just want to do it better. As your church, we want to get better at it. We want to mature into that body that looks like you. So, Father, challenge us today. Pull us a little closer today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed. If you're watching online, thank you so much for joining us. And have a wonderful day with each other. Okay.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.